We're Pastors George and Terry Pearsons. Welcome to the special edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast.
Let me tell you why it's special. We are sharing some of the best highlights of the Southwest Believers Convention that was held right here in Fort Worth just a few weeks ago. It's our hometown meeting that we've been having since 1981.
Wow.
Praise God.
Wow.
So, we are sharing these things with you so you can get a taste of the absolutely wonderful time we had together.
So we've been showing this week and next different speakers from that convention, and we want to introduce to you today one of our speakers, they're all our favorites, but one of our favorites is Jesse Duplantis. Oh my goodness, we could talk on and on about Jesse and how special he is to us. How long has he been preaching with us for these conventions?
Over 30 years.
Oh my goodness.
The 43 years we've been doing this. So we are very pleased to be able to share a portion of what Brother Jesse spoke. And then after that, we've got some exciting things to tell you about Super Kids.
That's right. So let's take a look at this.
And I'd like you to go with me to the book of Joshua. That's in the Old Testament for you people that don't read the Bible. You'd be surprised if many don't. They wait for the preacher to read it. Joshua chapter 14. I want to show you the power of what Christ can do when he's in someone's heart. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to start reading Joshua chapter 14. This man was never a number one, but he was a number two. The best number two you ever saw in your life. Because he knew how not to mix faith and time. You know, Brother Jeremy was preaching the other day, Jeremy Pearson's, and I'd really, really ministered to me his sermon as the Lord was directing him, where the kids say, "Oh, you there yet?" And the Lord told me many years ago, never mix faith and time, because time will become your enemy. Now, how many pastors we got here? Got any preachers here? Oh, yeah. I want to ask a question. Put your hand up. Has anybody ever left your church? Hold your hand up. Now, why do you think they left? You think it's because you said something bad? No. Actually, they embraced what you said. They loved it. They said, "Man, I'm going to believe that." But it didn't work fast enough. Then they begin to say, "You see, that stuff don't work." So they'll go to a church with so much less than what they had. And they live the rest of their life living in less and less and less. It's not that you said anything wrong. They embraced what you said. They liked it. That's why they were going at. But it didn't happen fast enough. And the Bible said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not." Now, this man, Caleb, there's two of them out of all them people that came out of Egypt. These two are the only ones that made it. The rest of the cowards died in the desert. Cowards always die in the desert. This Caleb guy. Now, I know our church is watching, and I preach this at Covenant Church, and I'm going to say some different things. This is the second time I looked at this, and the Lord said, "Go to that." And so we'll go to read the scripture first. Joshua chapter 14, I want to start reading with verse 6. "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, said unto him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart.'" So he told him what he believed, not just what he saw. "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt." Now, I wish you underline this in your Bible or whatever you do there, "but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, 'Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." He's 85 years old at the time of this writing, or time of that he says this. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. Notice the next two words, for war. What he was saying was, yeah, I can run around the block, but I'm strong enough to go to war. Because you got to understand, them giants was on his land for 45 years, and they owed him back rent for 45 years because he's Jewish. He wanted that money. Deserved it. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now, he didn't say tomorrow, next day, Joshua. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave him to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him the land. And do you know Caleb's descendants still own that property? That's Hebron. God gave him the honor of the burial places of the patriarchs. In Hebron, Abraham and Rebecca, Abraham and Sarah are there, and then Isaac and Rebecca, and Jacob and Leah. He said, I wholly follow the Lord. I want to talk tonight about the consequences of wholly following the Lord. Now, God said that about Joshua, but Caleb actually followed the Lord more than Joshua. Because God tells him I think there's a chapter right before that, Joshua, you're an old man, and there's still yet a lot of land to be possessed. But he never said that to Caleb, because Caleb was a visionary. He said, that's mine. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how many giants are there. I don't care how hard it looks. It belongs to me. And God kept his strength going all those years. So would you write this point down? I believe you'll enjoy this. To wholly follow the Lord, your perception of him becomes acute. Your obligation expands with increasing light and consecration. Let me say it again. To wholly follow the Lord, your perception of him becomes acute. Your obligation expands with increasing light and concentration. And all those years, he kept his mind on that vision. See, if you're not talking about your vision is talking about you. Lazy. Everybody telling you can't do this, you can't do that. And you start believing them instead of what God said. But he didn't do that. He wholly followed the Lord. When I got born again, I was such a magnificent sinner. Kathy told me that when I got saved, Satan cried. We have lost a great man today. And God had to give Jesus a blood transfusion to wash away all my sin. But when I got born again, and I can honestly say this, from Labor Day weekend 1974, I have wholly followed the Lord. And I don't mean that pridefully. How long have you been working with me now, Fritz? 40 years? Going on 41. Am I telling the truth? I couldn't believe how great it was to be saved. I couldn't explain it, but I knew something had happened. And it was one of the most amazing things. So to wholly follow the Lord, your perception of him becomes acute. So I said, Lord, I like to pray, but I prefer conversation. So when I go in my study and I'll say, hey, Jesus. He say, hey, Jesse, let's talk. And I do that constantly. And God can be funny. I said, you know, Lord, some people I see in you create, you must have been tired. He laughed like you did. He said, well, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I said, well, see, you must have had your eyes closed because something. And the Lord would just, now you don't have to believe it, but the Lord would just laugh. See, he's become my friend. I read that Abraham was a friend of God, and that struck me, Art. I went, Lord, can I be your friend? How do you make a friend? You see, you really don't know somebody until you go on vacation with them. Boy, then you find out who they really are. I wanted God to be acute, to know, not just believe. To wholly follow the Lord, your perception of him becomes acute. Then watch this. Your obligation expands with increasing light and consecration. So every day, I am better today than I was yesterday. I'm ever growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ, being made perfect, Now, don't let that word throw you. That means matured in the things of God. And, you know, and people say, I don't see how that man does that. In 48 years of preaching, I've never had a financial deficit because I thought, why should I have that? But do you know how many hundreds, maybe thousands of preachers told me, now, boy, you better get ready. Devil going to beat you and bust you and stomp you and kick you. But if you endure to the end, and they do it kind of like, if you endure to the end, hey, you shall be saved. I said, I'm already saved. I said, to you, God is not an enjoyment, but an endearment.
Yeah. Right.
You're looking more at your problem than you're looking at your answer.
Yeah. Right.
So to holy follow the Lord, your perception of him becomes acute. Your obligation expands with increasing light and consecration. And you need to study this man, Caleb, because he always stayed in his lane. Write this point down. To holy follow the Lord means you don't allow any distance to come between you and God. See, Caleb never allowed any distance to come between him and God Almighty, or him and Moses, or him and Joshua.
Right,
because he wholly followed the Lord. Write this down. To wholly follow the Lord becomes a life business of obedience. To wholly follow the Lord becomes a life business of obedience, because everything you do is being recorded. Hebrews 11, verse 2. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. I am having a report right now on me as I preach this message, that I will stand before God and you'll say, on July the 31st, 2024, on a Wednesday night, you preach this. And this is what I think about it, because it will never go away. It's like putting something on the internet. You're never going to lose it. You think you erase it, but it's in there somewhere. To wholly follow the Lord, or wholly follow the Lord, becomes a life business of obedience. So I begin to say, Lord, I know how to obey, but the church keeps telling me to sacrifice. Now, I don't have no problem with sacrificing. See what I'm saying? And everybody think, you know, these planes, we had that the first day. Ladies and gentlemen, when God told me he was going to give me a plane, it was 1978. It was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm driving to Opelousas, Louisiana, and I passed the Lafayette Municipal Airport, and a Citation jet flew over my head. Gas cost 58 cents a gallon. Now, I had given all my money away because I thought you had to be poor to be a Christian. That's what the Catholics teach you. Not being critical, just the truth. You know what I'm saying? So I thought, okay, we got to be poor. I said, but we've been poor before. Hey, man, God's going to be with us. If we don't eat, he don't eat. So it don't matter. But, yeah, but we never had that problem. So anyway, the Lord told me, look up. I looked up, and that jet flew over because he was about ready to land. He was on final. The Lord said, I'm going to give you a plane. I thought, a plane? I said to myself, a plane? I can't even fill up this Toyota at 58 cents a gallon. It's a 10-gallon tank. And you're going to give me a plane. And that's the greatest statement God has ever given me in my entire life. He's given me a bunch of them. He had to holler at me because the fog was in my mind, man. Because I know what things cost. He went, Jesse, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. And I thought, well, man, that just takes the pressure off on it, don't it? And I have used that on everything I've ever done. He didn't ask me to pay for that. He asked me to believe for that. Go with me to the book of Numbers. I want you to see this. This is one of the saddest chapters in the Bible, Numbers chapter 20. I want to show you something, then I'm going to explain that. Chapter 20. Get to it here. Hallelujah. Chapter 20, verse 22. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not, watch that, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because you rebelled against me, or against my word at the water of Meribah. That's both. Even Moses didn't get in. If anybody wanted to make the promised land, it was Moses. He got close enough to see it, but he didn't go in. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up into Mount Hor. Now watch this, verse 26. And strip Aaron of his garments. Now, what was on the high priest? What they call that? The Urim and Thurim? I got a hard time saying those two words, those stones. What's it? Verse 26. And strip Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar, his son, and Aaron shall be gathered to his people and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded. And they went up into the Mount Hor for the in the sight of all the congregation. So that's everybody, like you watching me, watching Aaron. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments. Now remember, he's the high priest. And put them upon Eleazar, his son, and Aaron died there in the top of the mountain. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. Now, see, some of you guys think you're getting away with this stuff, this secret sin. God said, take him up there in front of the whole nation of Israel. Strip him. What was protecting Aaron all those years? The anointing.
That's right.
The anointing, those vestments, that anointing, because he was the high priest. The minute Moses stripped him, boom, he dies right in front of everybody. Yeah. Some of you guys are about three quarters way up that mountain. And the reason why you hadn't been caught, the reason why things hadn't happened is you getting this close. And when God's going to strip that, that's Satan. He don't come to make sick. He come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the reason. I see. So Aaron didn't get away with making that golden calf. See, but the anointing was protecting him. But when he was stripped of that anointing, he died. Why? Because he didn't wholly follow the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Now, Moses, I got to give him a little credit. You know, you got them aggravating people screaming at him. And I've been there. And he hit that rock and he shouldn't have done that. Oh, no. Why? Because of the greatness of his position. Too much is given, much is required. You see, he said, I'll let you look at it, but you're not walking in it. Now, that didn't mean his ministry was over with, because on Mount Transfiguration, who you got there on top of the mount with Jesus? Moses. And who? Elijah. See, so your ministry still goes on when you get to heaven. I mean, you think you're going to be laying on the ground and angels dropping grapes in your mouth? Well, that ain't going to happen. Man, that's work to be done. It's creation going on. Right now, the universe is growing faster than the speed of light right now. Right now. My God, man, that's amazing to me. And when you understand that, then you'll understand this right this time. It is possible to be truly his, but not wholly his. Salted, but not salt. It is possible to be truly his, and Aaron was truly his, but not wholly his. How do you know? It depends upon your degree of discipleship. What are you willing to become in your walk with God? Your degree or this certain degree of discipleship. Let me say it again. It is possible to be truly his, but not wholly his. It depends upon your degree of discipleship. See, you got to understand something. If I can write this down here, I wrote something down with this point. You have to learn to subdue. What you don't subdue will become your master. Write that down. What you don't subdue will become your master. See, that's what God told Adam and Eve. Be fruitful, always producing. Multiply, always increasing. Replenish, fill it, use it, then refill it. Then he said, subdue, which means if anything gets out of line, put it down. Well, God was telling Adam, snake coming, put it down. But he didn't wholly follow the Lord. And that's why we have what we have today. See, the church world, I hate to say that, and the secular world, they love the first Adam more than the second Adam. And that's sad. It really is. Write this down. One known disobedience, just one, allowed. One known disobedience allowed. One condemned habit persisted. One condemned habit persisted. One wrong relationship maintained. I'm going to go over this again. One unchecked indulgence can cause spiritual resolution to falter. Let me say it again. When I wrote this point, I said, God, it's a long point. He said, write it down. One known disobedience allowed. One condemned habit persisted. One wrong relationship maintained. One unchecked indulgence can cause spiritual resolution to falter. Because now you're not wholly following the Lord. It could be a secret sin that you like. You know, you have noticed that Brother Copeland is very aware of walking in the love commandment. Very aware of that. And that's a wonderful thing. Let me say it again. Some of you are writing. One known disobedience allowed. One condemned habit persisted. One wrong relationship maintained. One unchecked indulgence can cause spiritual resolution to falter. That's what I told you when I told you about that subdue. What you don't subdue will become your master. Focus. Focus on your priority. Eliminate your confusion. Put them blinkers on. You know why they put them blinkers on them horses that run in the Kentucky Derby? They don't want that horse checking the horse out next to him. You look at the finish line, boy. This way you're going. Or whether it's a mare. Don't look at her. She may look pretty. She may smell good. This way. See? So when you understand that, that one known disobedience, and if you go read that chapter where Satan tried to make Jesus fall, he said, we're in the wilderness. Ain't nobody going to know. Don't worry about it. Go read it, especially in the Amplified. He said, all you got to do is bow down to me. And he says this, once. One known disobedience. Just once. Jesus wouldn't do that. Write this down. When you wholly follow the Lord, you bear the mark of the Lord's approval. People are still talking good about Caleb. When you wholly follow the Lord, you bear the mark of the Lord's approval. People will see those marks. When you wholly follow the Lord, you're bearing the marks of the Lord's approval. Now let me close with this. When Jesus is your uncontested king, you can write it down if you want. When Jesus is your uncontested king, he makes you, his uncontested conqueror. People know you have a constant sense of God because you're more than a conqueror. When Jesus is your uncontested king, he makes you his uncontested conqueror.
These days, as the headlines deliver a relentless stream of bad news about the future of the U.S. economy, the mainstream media's experts are warning of runaway inflation and coming shocks to the financial system, all of which leads many sincere believers to wonder whether it's even possible to thrive financially in times such as these. Here's good news. In their timely book, The Power to Prosper in Troubled Times, Gloria Copeland and Pastor George Pearsons offer you a hopeful, encouraging answer and reveal powerful, proven keys to operating in God's economic system rather than the world's. Are you ready to put the spiritual laws that govern supernatural increase and abundance to work in your life? Order The Power to Prosper in Troubled Times by Gloria Copeland and Pastor George Pearsons for only $16.99 on kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395.
You know, Terry Jesse is a lot of fun.
He is.
But he also has some really deep things in what he teaches and those statements that he brings out to us. They're really profound, actually, and they're really strong, strong messages for us. So we encourage you, go to kcm.org, watch the rest of his messages, and you'll be supremely blessed by doing that.
That's right. kcm.org, you can watch all of the Southwest Believers Convention. Kenneth Copeland, Terry Savelle Foy, Nancy Dufresne, Keith Moore, Bill Winston, and the rest of Jesse, and prayer. And it's just a great way to continue to feed on what happened at Southwest. Now, talking about Southwest, it's really for the whole family.
It is.
I love it that we can bring our children and let them grow in the Lord while they are having a lot of fun. Take a look at this little recap of what happened in Super Kids this year at Southwest.
Good morning, Super Kids! How are we doing today?
Your shoulders are not big enough to carry all the care and all the anxiety, but Jesus is. And he says to cast all that weight to cast it on him.
And he is our firm foundation. He is our fortress that the enemy can't come into. When you hold on to Jesus, Satan can't get in the middle of that.
Well, I'm telling you, there's a lot of water, an endless supply that comes out of our Savior to satisfy the thirst of our hearts. And all we have to do to get living water from him is talk to him.
I learned that Jesus is my rock and also Jesus is my focus.
You can expect a lot of fun, a lot of yelling, and just a great time.
It's amazing the impact that Super Kid Academy has on the children. And I was thinking about the healing school that your dad had on Saturday. And Commander Kelly brought some of those children into the healing school to testify of what the Lord did to them. And I'm telling you, the amazing things that took place in those children, one after the other, not only receiving healing deliverance, but also emotional deliverance. And the times that we're in demand that kind our children.
And we've seen that with our own kids over all these years. Brought them up in the children's services, and now our grandchildren are there. And so we encourage you to even now put on your calendar the dates for Southwest next year in July 28th through August the 2nd, 2025, and make plans, start saving, believe in God now for the finances so that you can come, bring your children, bring somebody else's children, and just watch the power of God work for the whole family.
You know, the book offer that we have for you, The Power to Prosper in Troubled Times. You know, it is possible to prosper in the times that we're going through, no matter what they are. And this book came about through a few of the broadcasts that Glory and I did together, almost 400 broadcasts that we did on prosperity, to be able to learn how to stand on the Word of God in these times that we're facing. And we've seen things lately that we have had challenges with in this nation. So reading this book, getting this Word down on the inside of you, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, and it comes by reading and reading by the Word as well.
And, you know, it's something that we always have to feed our faith on where finances are concerned, because finances, there's always a challenge with them. And so this book, The Power to Prosper in Troubled Times, you can go to kcm.org. The price is $16.99 in the United States. The price and the address for you if you live outside the United States is there on your screen.
That's right.
You can also go to kcm.org and watch the rest of the Southwest Believers Convention, follow the rest of Jesse's messages, Brother Copeland, Keith Moore, and so many more. And stay with us all this week and
next,
and get more,
much more
of what's coming from the Southwest Believers Convention 2024. We're so glad that you joined us today, and we look forward to being with you again tomorrow. But until then, remember this,
God loves you,
we love you,
and Jesus is Lord.